In your Bible, please, the Epistle of Jude. This morning, our attention will be at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the pity of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. This is a letter written to the beloved. You'll remember that Jude's intent was to write a letter of celebration, a letter of communion, that they were to share in the blessings of their common salvation. But the Spirit of God moved Jude from a letter of celebration, a letter of communion, to a letter of challenge. Contend for the faith that has been delivered once for all to the saints. The reason? Certain men have crept in. These are men condemned already. Condemned because they have come distorting the grace of God and denying the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we have a letter of contrast, a letter concerning these who have crept in, condemned, blasphemous. And a letter concerning the beloved, a letter of challenge, contend for the faith. A letter of challenge, beware, as the apostles and prophets warned, false teachers will come in. But not only beware, beloved, be constantly building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. And now this morning, we arrive at this challenge. Keep yourselves in the love of God. We need to understand this challenge in the light of the scriptures that address what it means to be in the love of God. This challenge is to a practice of the love of God in our lives, not the position of being in the love of God. Come on over with me for a moment to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, very familiar passage. I'm reading from verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd owns the sheep because he has bought them with his blood. He who is a hired hand and is not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned for the sheep. There is no personal relationship of concern, of care for the sheep. Only the good shepherd, the shepherd who has purchased, bought the sheep through the shedding of his blood, has concern for his sheep, who cares for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. and I know my own, and my own know me. A relationship of intimacy. To know in a way that is real, practical, experiential. That's what this Greek word means. To know in one's personal experience. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. We have an intimacy of relationship. It is a relationship which I have with the Father. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This intimate personal relationship is sealed through sacrifice in the Godhead. Before the foundation of the world, that intimacy of relationship of Father to Son and Holy Spirit determined that the Son would sacrifice himself, would display God's love to God's creation. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As I know the Father, and the Father knows me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. There are many mysteries in the master plan of Messiah. That which seems to be the major mystery concerns the building of Christ's church. This was not revealed during the time of the prophets. It was a mystery given in terms that were not clear until Christ himself, the Messiah, entered into human experience and put on display what the mystery was all about. His sacrifice in behalf of Jew and Gentile. And the offering of himself to both so that there could be harmony, peace with him and with one another. And so our Lord is referring to the building of his church, his body, Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. This mystery, now fully revealed in the sacrifice of God's Son in behalf of all sinners, Jews, Gentiles, and bringing them together, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Look at verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. You do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify of me. Tell us, I've told you. What I do declares who I am. I am the Christ. Clearly on display. But you have not believed. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, this intimacy of relationship. And they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. I have an intimate, personal, permanent relationship with my sheep. And that can never be changed. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father and I, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This relationship that I have with my sheep is a relationship like that which I have with the Father. It's an intimate, personal, permanent relationship. And nothing can change that. Come on to John chapter 17. Coming near the end of our Lord's earthly ministry. He has left the upper room, is now moving toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he is going, he's praying. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. The hour has come. We are now near Golgotha. His earthly ministry began in Cana, a feast, a wedding. There was need. The wine had run out. And so you'll remember that Mary says to Jesus, they're without wine. Inferring that there is something that I know you can do. And not only in doing it, can you meet their needs, it will show who you really are. His response? My hour has not yet come. And throughout his very short earthly ministry, our Lord reminds us that he is working on a timetable. He is working in perfect accord with the plan formulated before the foundation of the world, now being worked out in human experience, in time and space. My time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. Now, as he moves toward Golgotha, he raises his eyes toward heaven and speaks to the Father, glorify me as I have glorified you. My hour now has come. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Did you know that you are a gift? A gift from the Father to the Son. God's gift of love to the world is his Son. God's gift to his Son is the redeemed world. We are his gift, a gift of love from the Father to the Son. He has given us the gift of life. The Father has given him the gift of love, the redeemed. This is eternal life, that they may experientially know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. There is a glory, an adorning manifestation of the greatness of God that belongs to the Father, that belongs to the Son, that belongs to the Spirit. It is that glory which is His alone, that has been His forever. Restore that outward adorning, that outward manifestation, the magnificence of who God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit truly is. For you know, He did not think it robbery. He did not think that equality with God something that He should grasp and hold on to, but He chose, because it was the will of the Father, to set aside that adorning glory and to take on Himself the likeness of human flesh. He came, and we saw Him as a man. And in a man's flesh, He accomplished what man could not accomplish for himself: an eternal relationship with the magnificent majesty of Almighty God. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me, the Father's love gift, whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you. And they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me. They are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have given glorified in them. There is a glory now that He has, and I have been glorified in them. This is an acquired glory. His adorning glory He set aside in order to take on an acquired glory, the glory of the redeemed of the world. We know that God is perfect, but He reveals Himself to us as a God who in his Son has acquired more glory. A glory that he did not have until the master plan of Messiah, which was formulated before the foundation of the world, was fully brought to fruition. And now there is a glory that God has in his Son that he acquired through the fulfillment of redemption. I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Moses, burning bush. Go. I've chosen you to deliver my people. Who shall I say sends me? I am the self-existing one, the eternal, everlasting God. I am sends you. This is his name. This is the name. Your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. I am the eternal, the ever-living, self-existing one, intimate, inseparable, almighty God. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled, Psalm 41, referring to Judas. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Set them apart. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Believers are now in this world, but not to be of this world, but to behave as those who have been blood-bought, behaving in keeping with the revealed will of God in his word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctified myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but on those also who will believe in me through their word. His prayer, as he is moving toward Golgotha, is for those who are God's love gift to him, referring to the immediate, the apostles. But now he brings in all who will believe on him as his gift of love from the Father, the beloved. Those who will believe through their word, that's you. That's me. That's the host of redeemed. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The purpose for which we now have this intimate, inseparable relationship with the true and the living God is that his world might respond to his love demonstrated in us. It's the only reason he left us here. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world, a restoration of the adorning glory that he had with the Father, with the Spirit, before the foundation of the world, and now an adorning, acquired glory to be shared with those who are his own. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet have I known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This intimate, inseparable relationship, the love of God. Over to Romans chapter 8. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Familiar verses, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. This personal, intimate relationship is one of us being now conformed to his image. We belong to him, and we will be like him. These whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, declared right with himself. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. The very moment that we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we entered into an intimacy of relationship that is inseparable. And in that relationship, he is now conforming us unto the image of his Son, that we might, with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, share throughout eternity his glory. That's what is awaiting us. And it is a relationship that cannot in any way be changed. It is a relationship secure in Christ. It's a done deal. We're already, in God's eyes, declared perfect, glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over to us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect, selected ones? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are positioned in Christ Jesus, to those who are in Christ, in the love of God. That's positional truth. who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Just as it is written, Psalm 44. For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so as Jude is writing this letter, he's challenging the believer, the beloved, to behave in keeping with the position that you now have in Christ Jesus. He's calling to a practical keeping ourselves in the love of Christ, not positional. That's a done deal. We're secure in Christ. Nothing can change that. But the challenge is to be keeping ourselves, to be living in that sphere of the love of God. Back to John, this time the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. Again, one of the great pronouncements given to us in the Gospel of John. I am the vine, the true. And my Father is the wine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. The vine dresser, the Father. Branches that are in him. Is this the positional truth? No. This is the professing. Those who have identified with him, but there is no evidence of truly belonging to him. Identifying with, but no evidence of belonging to. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, oh yes, identifying with, but no fruit, evidence of not belonging. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, purged, pure. That's your position. You are truly mine. Abide in me, practice your position. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. A simile. Abide in me. I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit. Unless it abides, so you cannot, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. That's a metaphor. You are the branches. Metaphor. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, who really doesn't possess this life that through me produces fruit, he's thrown away. As, another simile, a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and are burned. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, the 7th chapter. reading from verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Outward, look good. Inwardly, evil. Look good, but they're not. And how is that understood, discerned? You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. For by grace have we been saved. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before preordained that we should be walking about in it, producing what is true of our position, producing the fruit of God. Titus tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us through the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? That we might be producing good works. Good tree produces good fruit. Bad tree produces bad fruit. Easy to discern. The bad, cast off, burned up. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. James writes in his epistle in the second chapter, you say you have faith? You don't have works? Can that kind of faith save you? Tell you what, I'll show you my faith by my works. The true produces a product to the praise of God. Has to. That's what it's all about. Oh, there are those that identify with, who even proclaim that they are, and it looks like they're real. But not everyone that says, but those that do. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. We never had a full, intimate, personal relationship. Different word here of knowing. It's not just the experiencing, but the having, possessing the fullness of knowledge. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Our time's gone this morning. But here comes the challenge. The challenge is simply this. Beloved, beware. contend for the faith. There's false teaching, false prophets all around you. Beloved, build yourself up in your most holy of faith. Beloved, pray in the Spirit. Beloved, keep yourself in the practicing of the love of God. Your position is secure. Now, live it out to the glory of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Father, thank you that the challenge is ours, a challenge to be living in such a loving relationship with you. As we abide, we do your bidding. Your commandments are not burdensome, they're a blessing. We are moved, motivated by the love that you extended to us and that while we were yet sinners. But now, you have called us to produce, to be living in the love of God. Thank you that you have empowered us by your Spirit to perform to your eternal praise. In Christ's name we give you praise. Amen.